Come expecting to receive? We're on Hebrews chapter 7, talking about looking at Melchizedek. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're so grateful to be able to gather together around your word, and we just ask your blessing as we study these things out and unpack the scripture. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you'll just open it to us, Lord, in a way that goes beyond just teaching and laying things out, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts, Lord, and grant it, Lord, that you'll just bless Brother Wade as he's studying and preparing, Lord God, and prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive what you have in store for us today. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 7 says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." So as we study these things out, that's what we want to understand, is how great this man was. If we can get an understanding of who this man is, we'll realize why Melchizedek paid tithes to him, and all of these things that Paul is laying out. Well, how could it be that Levi would pay tithes to Melchizedek while he was in Abraham, and all of these things. So we want to unpack this scripture that Abraham, last time we were kind of looking at how that the journey of Abraham, that he met Melchizedek first in Genesis chapter 14, when after the slaughter of the kings of Chedorlaomer and all the different kings, that Abraham went out to rescue Lot. And after that battle was over, then he sat down with Melchizedek and Melchizedek gave him communion. You know, it's always after the battle's over when you have communion. After you battle things out in sanctification, then God can begin to commune with you, and you can begin to understand. The word begins to open up to you. So it says here, Brother Bramlin said, "And who is this Melchizedek?" He said, "When Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith, will absolutely do the same thing." So that journey, that if we go back to that previous slide, that that journey that Abraham was on when he met Melchizedek and then met him again later in Genesis 18, that every son of the faith is going to go through that same journey, and every son of the faith is going to meet Melchizedek. How are you going to meet? What's the effect of meeting Melchizedek? You pay tithes. You recognize who you're meeting. Something begins to happen. So if we can understand how great this man was and who this man is, then we'll understand the our own story and the life that's unfolding here. You know, in Genesis chapter 14, we looked at last time how Abraham communed with Melchizedek, and you know, communion is relationship and unfolding the revelation of who this man is. And Brother Bramlin said, "And who is this Melchizedek?" When we start to look at who exactly the nature of this person, he said, "Notice now his attribute. The attribute was first God, the thought, the attribute itself, all in one, without being expressed. Then when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word, and then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And if you skip down to the bottom, he said, "This then is the state he was in when he met Abraham, was called Melchizedek." So let's go back up to the top. He said, when time began, it was word, but before it was word, it was attribute, a thought. Now we're getting where Melchizedek is. That's this mysterious person. His first being was spirit, God, supernatural. All right, the great eternal. Second, he began to form himself towards flesh in a theophany. It's called the word, a body. This then is the state he was in when he met Abraham, was called Melchizedek. He was in the form of theophany. Now we'll get to that and prove it in a few minutes, the Lord willing. He was the Word. So now you've got this story, you've got this picture of God unfolding himself so that we can understand him, so that God can have fellowship with us, unfolding himself in morphe, revealing himself as he changes his mask down to where he's actually revealing himself in man. So you take it, like John did, all the way back to the beginning, and the beginning was the Word, the expression, the attribute of the fullness of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. So we've got that picture. I did my best at trying to express something that really can only be understood by revelation. But Brother Ram, like we explained last time, that Brother Ram explained the office of the Father is like a diamond or a rainbow and a fountain, all of those things that he tried to express that within him were attributes. And Brother Bram would explain what's an attribute. An attribute is a nature. So in God was a nature of redeemer, or the nature of healer. And when an attribute is expressed, let's think that now if any of those attributes are expressed in you, then you will have the same nature that God wanted to express, the same nature of God. So from God, He wanted to express the nature, that attribute of a redeemer. So he began to condescend, to come down and express in something that we could understand the Word. It's called the Word, the Logos. Now, isn't it interesting that expression of those attributes is called the Word, and we hear the Word, we're receiving the Word. You're actually, as the gospel is being preached, that's kind of the unfolding my point here as we get to it. As the Word is being preached, what's being preached is actually, as you receive it, you're actually receiving that thought that was in God before the foundation of the world. You are becoming the Word as you hear the Word, because you're receiving that Word that was in God before the foundation. So Brother Bram said in the pillar of fire, he said, and now the Bible teaches us that the Logos went out of God, or I might say all of the God, becoming His first body form when the Logos went out of God. Let's look at what it looked like. No one has seen the Father at any time. No one, nowhere, never did, and never will. You're never going to see the Father like that, like looking at it. Any time, nowhere, never did, and never will. But then the Logos that went out of Him become like a little halo of light, playing yonder like a little child before the doorstep of the Father. And now I can see Him as He moves over here, and He draws into His memory or His mind a picture of what the world should be. Now there's not a star or nothing. I hear Him say, let there be, and an atom broke yonder. And when it did, the sun came into existence and began to whirl. She burned for millions of years and millions and millions of years. The first star that flew from the sun, He watches it fall for a few million years, and He stops it. And then another one flies off, and He lets it fall a few million years. What's He doing? Writing His first Bible, the Zodiac. So, you know, I got a picture. If you haven't seen any of those pictures of the James Webb Telescope, this is one of those pictures that you can look way back into the eons and see stars being formed. You know, you think about that. They didn't just come about just happenstance, but there was a God that spoke these things into existence. So that's that what I'm talking about is that the Logos, the Word, the expression of the Father, is the one that came down and visited Melchizedek. He's the one that spoke these things into existence, and one day was manifested in the flesh of a little baby crying in a manger, so that He could be manifest in your flesh. Brother Ram said it. He said the Logos, this great fountain of spirit which had no beginning or no end, this great spirit began to form in the creation, and the Logos that went out from it was the Son of God. It was the only visible form that the spirit had, and it was a theophany, which means a body, and the body was like a man. And it was the theophany of God that went out, the human form that didn't have eyes like you see, a better eye. It didn't have ears like you hear, but a far more hearing. See, it was a theophany, that all this rainbow condescended into a theophany. Moses saw it when he passed through the rock like that. He saw the back part, said it looked like a man. So what does a theophany look like? It looks like a man with 10 fingers and 10 toes and a mouth that he can speak through, and eyes, but far better eyes, far better seeing, because it's a supernatural, something supernatural, not constrained by flesh. So out of God, no man hath seen God at any time, as John 1:1 says, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So God began to express Himself by unfolding Himself down. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Down into Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. You know, what's God doing? He's got these attributes that he wants to express. And so that he expresses himself in the attribute of the fullness of the Father was the Word. But yet in the Word was all of these attributes, the attributes of you and I that he wanted to express. Down through every church age, he wanted to express some in Ephesians, at Ephesians age, in Smyrna, and all down. And so God knew each one that would be manifest in every age. So he had it's like almost you say a scroll. Or a book, or as Brother Keith Reed was preaching last weekend, we'll say the abstract title deed, that you can go back. If you can tie everything back to that original, the original book, the original abstract deed, the thing that God wanted to express from the beginning, then that makes everything right. So Brother Ram said in the believer's position in Christ, he said, when God made man, said, let us make man in our own image, let us give them, plural, let us make man in our own image, spirit man, and give them dominion over the fishes of the sea and the cattle and so forth. Now back there before the foundation of the world, God chose you in Christ Jesus to appear holy at the end time, all the way from the foundation of the world. And in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, was God a man? Certainly. Let us make man in our own image. What was God? A theophany, a body. And there man was made like that and put over the garden. And God, the theophany, come down and was made flesh and dwelt among us to redeem the man. In questions and answers on Hebrews number 3, he said, when God created you in his image, or created the man in his image, and created the woman in the image of the man for the glory of the man, he made you a theophany just like himself when he said, let us, to the creatures that he had made, let us make man in our own image and our likeness, a theophany. God is like unfolding himself, is the words that Brother Brown used to explain that God's condescending, moving down from attribute from thought all the way down to where we could hold him and hug him and talk to him and fellowship with him, which is what John chapter 17 is talking about when he says, when Jesus began to pray and he said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me them me, and they have kept thy word. What God in morphing? What's in morphing? In morphing is God changing his mask. Like an actor in a play that he's got a mask on and he's coming. There's different acts in a play and he's coming down to show, to fulfill, to play all the different parts. Now you look at this and we can see God coming down from thought attribute, that great fountain, to manifesting in a body, a logos, the theophany. When in those were attributes that he wanted to express, so he expressed himself in flesh. But now let's just compare this. Now Brother Ram said we're not oneness and we're not Trinitarian, so somewhere in the middle of those you got to have the right kind of truth. So now let's just kind of compare what does the oneness believe. Now we believe that, you know, God unfolded from that attribute to logos to be manifested in flesh. But now if you look at oneness theology, take that picture that we just took and swipe away all of the logos part and the Genesis 1:26, 27, God unfolding himself into expression of the attributes of you and I that would one day be manifest, and and you're left with this kind of picture. I was looking at a website that was kind of outlining the oneness Pentecostal viewpoint, and this is what they said. You understand Son to refer to both pre and post incarnation. while we understand the term to only apply after the incarnation. So the way they're looking at it is that God would take the look at the Father as like the pillar of fire, and you cannot use the word Son until you get to Jesus crying in a manger. You understand Son to refer to both pre and post incarnation, while we understand the term to only apply after the incarnation, coming into existence only because of the addition of humanity to God's previously unmitigated deity, to describe the relationship between God transcendent, between humanity and God limited and a human existence. So what are they missing? They're missing the part of God unfolding himself, which is what Brother Branham explained. He said, in the message, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. He said they believed in the eternal sonship. Or there's three, the Catholics, the Trinitarian viewpoint, there's three actual individual beings: God the Father, an old man with a long white beard, God the Son, a middle-aged man, and the Holy Ghost was a mascot boy-like. There's no such things. There's only one God. And I differ and agree with the organization of Pentecost that calls the oneness like your fingers one. That's wrong. Absolutely it's wrong. Jesus couldn't have been his own father, and if God is a man, then Jesus was born sexual desire and not virgin birth. That settles the whole thing. So what are they struggling with? You can't see the manifestation of God unfolding himself. A loving father coming right down from the heavens, unfolding himself, coming down to live among human beings here on earth. There you are. God was in his son, and now I've unfolded to you also. God is in his people. So, and you compare that with the Trinitarian view, and I'm just trying to outline some of these things because I know some have asked to just kind of lay a basic framework for kind of what we believe. And the Trinitarian view is, this picture is kind of what the Trinitarians, all our websites and things show, is that, you know, they've got the diagram that shows the Father is God and the Son is God and the Spirit is God, but they're not the same thing. It's not the same, but the Father is not the Son. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. And it's looking at it, failing to understand that it's one person all the time, one personality. And you can see off the website, the Catholic Encyclopedia, it says the Trinity is the term employed to signify the central doctrine of the Christian religion, the truth that in the unity of the Godhead there are three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three persons being truly distinct from one another. But if you've got three persons, then you got three people arguing with one another. You got three opinions, and it would just be chaos if you got three different people. And then the scriptures are all messed up. What name would we be baptized in? How would you be baptized in? Who do you pray to? Who are we talking to when we get on our knees? Which one of these people? So you see, there's a middle of the road to all things. There's a balance between those two understandings, between the oneness that God is just one like your finger, and throwing away the unfolding of himself, and on the other side that God is three different people. So there's a balance right there in the middle if we can understand. So Brother Ram said in the Kinsman Redeemer, he said, I differ with Billy Graham on three individual persons in the Godhead or any other Trinitarian teacher on that. I believe in a Trinity, of course. Now that shouldn't make our head swim, but not in that manner, them being three persons, not in that manner, not like that, that there's three different people. They're one. So there you've got the true understanding of Matthew 28:19. It says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What's his name? Was answered in Acts 2:38. His name is Jesus Christ, because it's one person unfolding himself. Because it's one person, then the characteristics and the nature of the Father manifested in the Son, manifested in you, are all identical, because an attribute is the nature and his characteristics and his personality. His personality manifested in Brother Branham and the life of Irenaeus and Martin and Columba and all those, and manifested in you will be exactly the same if you become the Word. If you become that Word, then it will demonstrate exactly the same fruits, exactly the same characteristics that was in Christ. Brother Branham said in the message of trial, he said, Jesus come with three titles, Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God, all the same person. That's just like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, not three gods, one person, the three attributes of God. Now see, just like I am three persons, I am to my father a husband, I am to my daughter sitting here daddy, and my grandson sitting here a grandpa. Now my wife only has claims on me as her husband, and my daughter here can't say husband because she's my child. My grandson can't call me daddy. He has no claims on me as daddy. He might call me that, but it isn't so. He is my grandson, yet I'm the same person. It's God unveiling himself, bringing himself down so he can be. He was above in a pillar of fire, then he was manifested in his son, Jesus Christ, and now revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. Watch when he comes. Now don't forget, though, the question we're trying to answer is, how great was this man that came to Abraham? This Melchizedek, how great, who was this man? It was God revealing himself. And Brother Brown would say in Morphe, the difference between Jesus and Melchizedek was that Jesus was the tabernacle that God dwelled in, the flesh man, and this man had no father, no mother, no beginning of days or ending of life, but it was the self same person. It was Melchizedek. Melchizedek and Jesus was one, but Jesus was the earthly body, born and fashioned after sin. What was it? God in morphing himself, coming down. And Brother Bram said, we find the word in morphe in Greek, which means the unseen was made visible. He changed himself. He come down. And morphe means something that could not be seen yet. It's there. And then it's changed. And the eye can catch it. That God is actually unfolding himself. Like, I got a picture of a leaf unfolding himself, and, you know, once it's finally unfolded, you can see it. It unfurls to reveal itself. And Brother Bram said in the testimony of Jesus Christ, he said he's just unfolding himself from a sacred light above the people down into a holy body to redeem people, then out into born-again believers, the same God. Now, that's the revelation of the Godhead. It's the same God all the time, unfolding himself, revealing himself. God changed himself, changes his form, Brother Bram said, in the unveiling of God. When in morphe, that means he changed himself. He come down from something that could not be seen, then it's changed and the eye can catch it. Like in Brother, and who is this Melchizedek? He said, when you got a sculpture, you know, somebody makes a sculpture, they hide it with a mask over it. And they're slowly revealing it. They take the mask off, and then they reveal what's underneath the thing covering it. And God promised in this day, at the end of this Laodicean church, he would take the mask off the whole thing, like what's happening with that leaf that's unfolding, to reveal what was in God's thought before the foundation of the world. God in morphe, masked in the pillar of fire, masked in a man called Jesus, in morphe in his church, God above us, God with us, God in us, the condescending of God. So he said again, and we would see Jesus, he said, in the beginning God was a spirit, and all the fountain of goodness and mercy and power and all the good things of love, God was the center of that fountain. And then the Logos that went out of God in the beginning become what we call a theophany, or supernatural body. God is just not like the air, but he's in a body. And in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, in the beginning was the same. He was that great spirit fountain where all the trueness, all the love, all the peace, everything that was pure was in this fountain. It began to form a body, a theophany, the kind of body that we go to. So we start talking about a theophany, a body, a word body. The word body is actually what Christ is sowing. That's why the Son of Man is the only sower of the word, is because the word is God is unfolding himself. And as he's sowing the word, you're becoming, you bypass that theophany. You come here without that theophany, but the word is actually what's bringing you back to that. But the word says in Ephesians 2:12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. When you come into the world, you are without Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, connected back to the Word, that the Word is made manifest in your members. Now the musicians can go ahead and come forward. We're going to stop here and continue on that note the next time and talk about what a theophany is, and that there's one body, that seed. In Galatians 3:16 it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He seeth not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And there you get into what that predestinated seed is. The seed is Christ. The seed is always Christ. The seed that you hear, the word that we're hearing is Christ. And we'll just stop right there. God bless you.